the words to that song as we begin this morning's discussion. At the cross, I surrendered my life. And you just say that so casually. And we are all guilty of doing just that. When in a sense, we did not surrender anything at the cross, but it was Jesus that died in our place. And I'll just say this, because for the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about living our lives in focus. And Jesus gave himself up for us at the cross because he had sacrificial, unselfish love with action. And as we begin talking about, as a church, as Live Oak Baptist Church, what does it look like for us to live in focus and get focused around doing what God would have us to do as a church? It comes back to that every time. Loving God, loving people, and advancing the kingdom with sacrificial, unselfish love with action. So that's where we start today. But before we do that, I want to do this. I want to talk about something that I know is very near and dear to each one of your hearts. I'm going to see if I can get it right. Okay? Superheroes. Why do you laugh? Because in your mind, when I say the word superhero, I thought of one. Margie even thought of one. Right? See? Everybody has a superhero that they like. Let's just pick a few. Whether you grabbed a comic book, was your first experience with a superhero? Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Or your first experience with a superhero would have been something on a cinematic screen or a cartoon or some other media. I'm going to talk about Spider-Man. That's a pretty good one, right? Spider-Man. I'm going to talk about Batman. Some of the students like that one. Oh, come on. He wears a mask. So does Spider-Man. And I want to talk about Captain America. Okay? Three superheroes. They all wear a mask. There are a couple of other things that are must-haves for superheroes. They must have this going on for them. The mask is not always that important. But one thing that is true, they must have, and this guarantees the fact that I will never be a superhero, they wear spandex. It is a must-have for them. It guarantees the fact that I will never be one of them. The second thing that is a must-have for the superhero is, have you ever noticed or thought about the fact that superheroes have no personal agenda? They have no interest in building their own empire. They have no interest in building their own kingdom. A superhero's job is to take what is going on around him and make it better for whom? The community, or the city, or the world. Now that's something we can get behind. That's something that we can do. Maybe it's something that we ought to be doing as a church. Have you ever noticed, in contrast to that, the superhero has no personal agenda, and the one that has the personal agenda and wants to build his empire and build his kingdom is known as the villain? Oh, how backwards do we have it? How backwards do we have it, church? Even Hollywood says, in the world of superheroes, the guy that wants to build his own empire, the guy that wants to build his own kingdom, is known as the villain. And somehow we can't get that right. Because you talk about loving God, loving people, and advancing the kingdom, and eventually, it comes down to mostly personal preference as to how we do that. And that is a dangerous and slippery place to be as a church. So, like I said, over the last few weeks, we have been talking about living our lives in focus. And so the first week, We talked about if anyone wishes to come after me, he must do what? Deny self, take up cross, and follow me. Then we talked about loving God. Then we talked about loving people with this sacrificial, unselfish love with action as a church. And today, I'm so glad you're here because we're going to talk about something that is earth-shattering, advancing God's kingdom. It has got to be part of the DNA of our church. Now, you can look all throughout Scripture. You can go, you can flip through, you can pour over, you can look and study, and you will find snapshots of God's kingdom being advanced. And then you will find other places where it looks like it may not be advanced at all, but God is still at work. Because this whole book is about this idea. So if you have a Bible this morning, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to just kind of touch on one of these things that I think, like superheroes, is a must-have when we talk about advancing the kingdom. So Acts chapter 2, if you are able and willing, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? We're going to read 10 verses from verse 37 to verse 47 from Acts chapter 2. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.' And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day, those who were being saved." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that we have an opportunity to look at it this morning. God, would you give us sharpness and focus to see what it says, to not interject what it doesn't say. God, that we might be moved to action to advance the kingdom for your sake. We love you and we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So here we go. We are getting, jump right into verse 37. And it says, "Now when they heard this," I love starting scripture like this. I love it when we catch scripture in this way. I love it whenever we say, "When they heard this." Well, what were they hearing? Was it birds chirping? Was it rain? Was it dust blowing in the air? What were they listening to? What did they heard? Well, if you go back, like we are prone to do in Scripture, and we are prone to do as a church, because we like putting Scripture where it belongs, you will notice that what they are hearing is a sermon. What they have heard is a sermon from Peter. And Peter, this sermon, I will give you guys the freedom to go home and read it as you begin to look at Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching to them. And what he is saying to them is this sermon is full of Old Testament prophecy about Jesus, about who he was, about who he said he was, and about what he did. And so at the end of his sermon, look at verse 36, Acts chapter 2, verse 36. It says, "Therefore," and so I kind of gave you the idea of what the "therefore" is for. "Therefore, Let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Peter is telling the audience, let this be heard. If you don't remember anything else about my sermon, Peter says, hear this, that he is who he says he was, and he did what he said he was going to do, and you crucified him. That's a pretty harsh message. You think about that. Jesus is who he said he was. He did what he said he was going to do, and you crucified him. Can you imagine Peter in this moment? I would think this would be, David and I were talking about this earlier this week. I would think that this would be like the climax of his sermon. The most critical portion of the sermon, and he wants to nail it home. He says, Jesus is who he says he is. He did what he said he was going to do. And who crucified him? You. You, people. Let all the house of Israel hear this. And then we pick up in verse 37, and now it seems so much different. Now when they heard this, they had just been hammered with this sermon. And it did what to them? They were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Now think about this for a second. I learned something new about Scripture, and I love it when this happens. Yes, I am constantly learning about Scripture. I am constantly learning new things about what God says. I learned something new. The word pierced here is only used in this sense, right here, one time in the whole Bible. Once you get this word for pierced. And what you and I would say whenever we hear that word is we think about something physical. We think about maybe images of Scripture where Jesus was pierced, right? This is something more than that. This is something that is not physical. What this is something that is psychological. It is emotional. It is piercing to the core of someone's being. And so in a way, instead of being pierced to end life, this was a piercing that jump-started life. Have you ever seen one of those medical shows where they have like somebody's heart, they're doing a heart operation, and that it's nothing is really going right, and so then they get it all hooked back up, and it's supposed to be working. The heart is supposed to be pumping, and it's just not. And they build the drama, and the doctor comes around and he says, "Well, let me just do this," and he thumps it, and all of a sudden it comes to life and it begins to take on the form of a heart, and it beats and it pumps blood. This is the term for piercing in that way. It is a term that is given to give life to something that was dead. And after they heard the message about Jesus and who he was and that he did what he said he was going to do, they heard it and they were pierced to the core of their being, and it jump-started within them something supernatural, because then they got together with Peter and the rest of the apostles and they said, "What shall we do?" And see, this church is where we are. So many of us in this room have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. We have called him Lord, and we have been pierced to the soul by that message, the same message that Peter gave, that Jesus is who he says he is, and he did what he said he was going to do, and I trust that, and I believe that, and I put my faith in it. And so I have been pierced to the soul of my being, and now I don't know what to do. So I ask the question, what then shall we do? This is where they are. What shall we do? At the end of verse 37, Peter said to them, "Repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of of the Holy Spirit. So Peter says, first, repent and be baptized. Repent to turn away from something, to be going in one direction and do a 180 and go the other direction. I'm no longer going to be a part of this life. I've got to repent. I have got to turn away from my behavior, my sinful behavior that God wants nothing to do with. Repent first. It is so difficult to advance the kingdom without this. Can it be done? Absolutely. God can use whomever he wants, however he wants, whenever he wants. He's God. I give him that much credit and authority. But it is so much easier when you have repented from this way of life and you are now turned and in agreement with what God would have for our lives as a church and as individuals. Repent. Be baptized. Baptism then and baptism now are much the same in that it is like it is a physical response. Something that we respond to physically in baptism, being buried with Christ and raised to walk in a newness of life. That is a physical act that connects us with what is going on in the spiritual world. It is a physical act that connects us to what is going on in the spiritual realm. It identifies us to the kingdom. It's like getting an identification card. Yep, I've been baptized. And I have my ID. I have my baptism ID. Because now I'm identified with the kingdom. And therefore, I have been identified with the kingdom. I've got to be at work for the kingdom. And the only thing that God says about the kingdom is to move it forward. He didn't say for us to come and sit on our duffs and do nothing for the kingdom. Can I say duff? Thank you. Repent and be baptized, he says. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Man, what a gift that is. What a gift that has been given to each one of us as we are pierced to the soul and we say, I believe Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord, and I trust that what he did on the cross was good enough to satisfy the wrath that God has for my sin. He poured it out on Jesus. I trust that. I know that. And because of that, I get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Man, we take that for granted. Oh, to exercise opening that gift each and every day. It's like a new gift under the tree. We're coming up on Christmas fast, and I know because Halloween is over and Thanksgiving is forgotten and Christmas stuff is already out. So that's how I can tell it's coming. Here's the thing. The gift of the Holy Spirit to go under the tree every morning. I got the Holy Spirit. And you turn to whomever will listen. Like kids getting gifts on Christmas morning. All they want to do is open it and play with it. Man. How often do we take that gift for granted? That we have an opportunity to go get it out from under the tree and open it up and see what it has for us each and every day for the kingdom. That's the beginning of advancing the kingdom. Let's keep reading. Verses 39 through 41. And he keeps telling them with many other words in verse 40. He says, he testifies and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. What shall we do? Preach salvation. Preach the good news of Jesus. Tell people about how to be saved from this perverse generation. Because of that message, so then, therefore, so that, verse 41, those who had received his word were baptized, And that day there were about 3,000 souls added. 3,000 people. Out of what? Peter saying, God is who he says he is. He did what he said he was going to do by sending Jesus. Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus did what he said he was going to do. And because of that, it pierced them to the soul. And they had to do something. What shall we do? And so this is all part of that answer of what shall we do? And so many times we just take it for granted. Yes, you make that decision. You are pierced to the soul. We baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then what? Come sit in one of these fancy red chairs and start gaining information. Just start taking in information. That's really all we want, right? That's not what it should all be about. Let's take it one step further. We're going to put you in Sunday school, which, by the way, is a wonderful, wonderful avenue to talk to people that are like-minded, to get into God's Word, to study it, to let it speak to you through the gift of the Holy Spirit that you have taken out from under the tree and you have unwrapped it and you said, God, this is the Holy Spirit. What is it going to teach me today? Sunday school, please don't misunderstand me, is very valuable and critical to the growth of the kingdom. But here's the thing. You have been baptized. You have been buried with Christ and raised to walk in a newness of life. And so we're going to get you to sit in a chair in Sunday school and soak in some knowledge about the Bible. We're going to get you to soak in some information in a red chair in this building about whatever Brother Adam is saying. And we become these big silos of information. These huge silos that are full to the brim with information about who God is and what he said he was going to do, and what do we do with it? Because the chapter is not over. The story is not over. What shall we do? He has not finished answering their question. There's been 3,000 souls that were saved. Why doesn't it just stop there? Why can't we just stop there and amen and go home? Because the early church knew that advancing the kingdom did not stop with salvation. It does not stop with the knowledge of who God is. It does not stop with the knowledge of trusting that God said he would do what he said he was going to do. There's more to it, church. As we look at advancing the kingdom, look at verse 42. This is the most Baptist verse I could find in the Bible. Absolutely the most Baptist thing I could find in Scripture. Verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Tell me that does not sound like what we do as a church. I'm going to sit in a class, or I'm going to sit on Sunday mornings in a sermon, and I'm going to be devoted to knowledge. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. We got that down. All right? They were also devoted to fellowship. How many fellowships do we have a year? Somebody got a calendar? We're devoted to it, I can promise you. We got it. We're 2 for 2. We're batting 1,000, church. And they were devoted to the breaking of bread. Oh, praise the Lord for you, Bruce. Oh, man. We are batting 1,000. 3 for 3. Devoted to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And I will say this for Live Oak Baptist Church, the last one a lot of churches don't get, we are pretty close to batting 1,000 with prayer. I know some people in this church that pray constantly. I know some people in this church that are devoted to praying. And yes, that is helpful. And yes, it is important. But then again, what shall we do? The chapter does not end with all of these devoted things. Our spiritual lives cannot end by being devoted to knowledge. Our spiritual lives do not end by being devoted to fellowship. Our spiritual lives do not end by being devoted to eating. And our spiritual lives do not end even by being devoted to prayer. There is more to advancing this kingdom than we actually do. Because we take verse 42 and we say, we are good Baptists. And we like doing those things, and those things are good in and of themselves, but it is not where the buck stops. It is not where our journey of advancing the kingdom stops. Because the chapter is not over. He is not finished answering them. Watch out, watch what else he says. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe at the many wonders and signs that were taking place through the apostles. See, they devoted themselves to these things, and signs and wonders began to happen. So it is not bad to be devoted to those things, church. Please don't misunderstand me. It is not a bad thing that we are devoted to those things. But it is not a circular argument. There's more to it. To be devoted to teaching and fellowship and eating and prayer, those things we're doing. Live Oak Baptist Church, I applaud you. You are doing those things. But as many of you are aware and know well by now, my athleticism, it would do me no good to be at all the meetings, all the team meetings, because I went there and I sat through them. It would do me no good to gain all the knowledge about every play that we're going to run during our game. Right, Cody? You sit in all the meetings, you learn all the plays, you even go on the trips with the team, and during that trip you sit down and you eat, so we're devoted to eating as a team. And we are devoted to fellowship because all of that time in between, all the travel time, all the locker room time, all of the time in and out of practice, we're fellowshipping. Why couldn't you look at verse 42 and just say, well, that looks like a pretty good football team to me, Brother Adam. That looks like a pretty good band. They know exactly where they're going to step. They know exactly how they're going to count. They know exactly what they're going to do. They are devoted to each other. They can do stuff together. They eat together. They live in and out of the band hall together. The reason that we can't do that is because he is not answering them for athletic reasons. This is about the kingdom. This is about advancing the kingdom. And because we are devoted to those things is not a bad thing, but because we do not put an outlet to those things, we are in danger of dying as a church. Because to just be devoted to these things, like I said, it is not a bad thing, but there must be an outlet. Because if I learn all of the information about what I'm going to do as a team member, I go to all the meetings, I eat all the meals, I sit in on all the pep talks, I fellowship with my teammates, but I never get into the game, it is all a silo of useless information that I have nothing to do with. I've got to have an outlet for all of that stuff that I'm devoted to. I've got to create an outlet where I can have movement and put it to use. And so, church, here we go. A must-have for advancing the kingdom. Verse 44, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. We still have that team mentality, but here comes the outlet. Now that I've been devoted to those things, now that I know those things, now that there are signs and wonders that are happening because of those things, I now put it to use. Verse 45, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. They gave an outlet for all of their devoted activity. Now, before you go running off selling all your cows and all your land and your home and your vehicles and all of the stuff, know this. I do not think that this passage of Scripture, some people take it very literally. Some people do. The way that I interpret this is based on the end of that passage of Scripture. They sold the property, possessions, and shared them with anyone that might have need. See, the reason that they were able to do that is because they did not have an off switch for those things that they were devoted to. You see, what happens is we come together on basically 2 days a week, Sunday and Wednesday. And in those 2 days, we are devoted to these things. And then something miraculous happens. We have a switch that kind of touch that we can just turn off. Well, it's not Sunday, it's not Wednesday, so it must not be of God, maybe. It must not be something worth investing in for the kingdom because it's not happening on Sunday or Wednesday. See, they were pierced to the soul of their being. What then shall we do? Don't turn it off. Be devoted to those things. How? Look, back in the scripture here where it says they were continually devoting themselves. Continually. There was no off switch. It didn't matter if it happened on Sunday. It didn't matter if it happened on Tuesday. It didn't matter if it even happened on Friday. There was no off switch. When they saw somebody that had need, they were generous. As we advance the kingdom through Live Oak Baptist Church, we have got to become generous to those that are in need. Generosity. Here's the other thing. You think about generosity, and then everybody starts going, well, I don't have a lot to give. I heard that this week. As we were packing the pickup. I don't have much, so I'm not going to give much. Not all needs are financial, church. You don't think they begin selling their property, they begin getting rid of their possessions, they begin meeting needs to all that had a need? Do you think that all of them had those same needs? I do not. There were some that needed property. There were some that needed possessions. There were some that needed that to sustain them. There were others that had that already. What would their needs be? You don't think a church that is devoted to praying about the lost people in Jack County would make a difference for the kingdom? You don't think that a church that was devoted to giving away their resources and their time and their energy for the sake of the kingdom would make a difference? Not all the needs are financial. So as we advance the kingdom, let's become more generous, not just with our pocketbooks. Let's become more generous with our resources and our time and our energy and our prayer lives and our spiritual dedication to those things. Then we will begin to see some movement for the kingdom through Live Oak Baptist Church. The last thing as we wrap this up, verse 46, day by day, continuing with one in mind, with one mind in the temple. And the breaking of bread, remember, they're still eating. They're good Baptists. Breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Do you know what the word favor there means? And this is the second must-have for a church that wants to advance the kingdom. The word favor there means grace. Grace. Supernatural grace. God doing something that we could not do for ourselves. Grace. That's what they had. They had favor with all the people because they had grace with all the people. You want to advance the kingdom, church? Think about this. When trials come, as individuals and as the church, we start by showing supernatural grace. When frustrations and arguments and disagreements come, as individuals and as a church, what do? Start with supernatural grace. When our personal agendas don't match the kingdom agenda, we need grace. That God would extend that grace to us to figure out what it is where we're missing the point. Grace and generosity advances the kingdom like nothing else. So church, here's the thing. Love God, love people, advance the kingdom. That's what we should be about as a church. That's what we should be about as individuals for the sake of the kingdom. Loving God, loving people, advancing the kingdom. With sacrificial, unselfish love with action, and by showing grace and generosity as we advance the kingdom. Because that makes us look different to a lost and broken world. We will look different, we will sound different, we will act different, we will love differently because we are His. So church, I would encourage you, maybe you left the house and you left the Holy Spirit gift under the tree. Let me encourage you to go home and open it and see how we can love God, love people, and advance the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Father, thank you for an opportunity to look at your word. And Father, for a group of people that came together and were pierced to the soul. And they asked a simple question, what then shall we do? Father, you ask that of us each and every day. What shall we do for the sake of the kingdom today? Father, if we are unwrapping the gift of your Holy Spirit, if we are experiencing the fullness of that gift, God, the answers will come. And God, there will not be an off switch to what happens for the sake of the kingdom through the people of Live Oak Baptist Church. So God, we give you thanks for that. Now, Father, if there is a person in this room that has never trusted you as their Savior and Lord, Father, if they have never heard about the message of Jesus, that you are who you say you are, and you did what you said you were going to do, God, today they would be willing to come and have a conversation about the grace that you extend so freely to us, about the goodness that is in Jesus, and the salvation that is found there. Father, help us not to be content with just being devoted to some good things, but God, help us to find places where we can have movement for the kingdom, places where we can find outlets for that devoted life to come to life. God, would you give us wisdom as we do that each and every day? Thank you again for loving us, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well.